John chapter 17, and I'd like for us to begin reading, if we could, in verse 9. The Bible says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this morning we thank you for the praises that we can sing to you. We thank you, God, for the way in which we can ask you to empower us. And to the extent, Lord, that we have our sin confessed and that we have died to self, we have the promise in your word that you will fill us with your power. Lord, we thank you for the sense of belonging that we find and knowing that, yes, we belong to God. God can say of us, thou art mine. Lord, today I pray that you would encourage all of our hearts as we examine here your word. Father, that all of us would be challenged to have a brighter outlook, more of the joy of the Lord in our hearts as we go about our classes, our ministry participation, our service to the Lord, that all would be accomplished in a fashion that is pleasing and honoring to our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, as I think back to some of the large trials in my life, there was one thing that would always bring encouragement, and that was prayer. I can remember when my wife suffered a near-fatal car accident and spent 2 months in the hospital, untold numbers of people would come up to me and say, I'm praying for you. It was a tremendous blessing to realize there the power of prayer. And I praise God for all of the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who support me in their prayers. It's also a joy as a Christian to be able to support others with my prayers. But I ask you this morning, how many of us are aware of someone far greater who is praying for each of us even when others are not? And his name is Jesus. You know what's so exciting about this passage here is that we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples. And if you have come to the place in your life where you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I believe very clearly that this passage has an equally legitimate application to us today. We understand, of course, that Jesus Christ knows us as no one else does. And you realize now that there are a few more people on the earth that know you in a way that perhaps did not know you before you had your roommates at the beginning of this year. They know what your quirks are. They know what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. But when we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it had to give great comfort and strength and encouragement to his disciples as they contemplated what was about to be happening. And of course, we understand that God had spoken to them, Jesus Christ had spoken to them on numerous occasions about his pending death. And we think even back as we're in John 17, think back to John chapter 14, and he starts off there by telling them, listen, you don't need to be troubled, you don't need to be worried, you believe in God, believe in me, and he tells them, of course, of what he's planning for up in heaven and looking forward to the time when we will be with him forever and ever. But I'm grateful today that when it comes to where I am in 2010, although I thank God for those who pray for me, I thank God for the support of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank God for the support of the members of the Fairfax Baptist Temple. There is one, Jesus Christ the Lord, who is praying, and he's praying specifically for my protection. You know, when you think about this day and age, as we've heard this morning, even the recent car accident, and grateful for God's protective hand, even going through recovery process, it's wonderful to know that our Lord and Savior is truly praying for us. You see, the conversation or words of Jesus that are recorded here in this passage come from the evening spent with his disciples at the Last Supper. This message actually began back in chapter 13 and continues through the end of chapter 17. But he tells us here, back in verse 9, he says, "I pray for them. Not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." What a wonderful privilege it is to know that as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that we have a sense of belonging. And because of that sense of belonging, we can enjoy the protective hand of God upon us. I thank God for the four children that he has blessed my wife and me with. And you know, when we go out in public, I am mindful of what other kids may be doing. I may see other youngsters running around. Our youngest is 7 years old. But when it comes to my four children, I have a stronger sense of protection for them because I realize, wait a minute, those four children are mine by the grace of God. And you know, it ought to give us encouragement today in realizing that yes, we do belong to Jesus Christ if we put our faith and trust in him. He tells us in verse 11, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." We think of Jesus Christ keeping us. The Bible tells us when we think of the ways in which he protects us, of course, he gives us that eternal security. I am so thankful for the fact that my eternal destination is not based on whether or not I live perfectly for God every day of my life. He is my standard. That is my goal. That is my desire. I want to be truly furnished unto all good works. Perfect in that sense, complete, but I realize I fall short. Nevertheless, when it comes to my salvation, having putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I am kept. Peter says, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. You know, when you think about all kinds of difficulties that we can have in our lives, we think of the physical trials that we can encounter. We think of the spiritual trials that we can encounter. It's important that all of us appreciate the protection of our Heavenly Father upon us because we have been bought with a price. Because our sins have been washed in the blood. Because we have come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed. For I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathways shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine. Maybe this morning you think of being in a Christian college, you think of being in a Christian environment, you think of being surrounded by all of these other young people who are desirous for the vast majority of seeking to keep God first in their lives, and yet at the same time, you can even in a crowd have a sense of loneliness and say, wow, you know, all this that's going on, everybody's heading in different directions, everyone has their different responsibilities, but keep in mind, God is praying for you, Jesus Christ, God the Son. You know, when we think about what he's praying for here, as he's praying for our security, he's also praying for our sanctification. Turn over to that short epistle of Jude, if you would. Just by way of a reminder there, the end of that epistle, Jude. The Bible says in verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Now, a lot of times when we think of the Christian life and we think of everything that we are learning, everything that's being taught to us, everything that's being preached to us, everything that we are observing as we spend time on a daily basis meditating in God's Word, it can become a very daunting list to think of all of these things that God expects of us. But the wonderful part is, when we think about everything that is out there, all of the traps of the devil, we think of all those who would love to see us fall, that we never have to say falling is inevitable. We don't have to say that. Rather, we can say, wait a minute, as I seek to please my Father, as I seek to do what God has told me, Jesus is praying for my protection. He is the one who can truly keep me from falling and can have me be what is truly honoring and glorifying unto Him. And what a joy it is to know, as we think of the power of our great God, that yes, He will keep us secure in our salvation, but He also will help us to be sanctified, to be all that God desires, which is why we think of Peter reminds us of the same thing there in 2 Peter chapter 1 and gives us a long list of character traits that can be found in our lives. And he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. So we think of, well, you know, it's just the fact of life. You're always going to have problems. You're always going to have difficulties. You're always going to fall, and we just got to make sure we get up again. Yes, the Bible does tell us the just man falleth 7 times and riseth yet again. And yes, every time we do fall, we should come back to the Lord and ask Him to help us and ask Him to get us back up on our feet and ask us to get our focus put forth back on Him. But I remind you, you don't have to fall. You don't have to fall. You don't have to find yourself there in that pit. You don't have to find yourself there discouraged. What we can do is say, God, by your grace, to the extent that I depend upon you, I'm going to seek to be all that God wants me to be and truly enjoy the protective hand of God upon me. You know, we think about Him praying for our security. We think about Him praying for our sanctification. It was interesting just this morning as I was reading through my devotions in Psalm 116, the psalmist made a very similar observation when he said in verse 8, Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. What a wonderful God you and I have the privilege of serving. You think about your parents, and of course, your parents are not always able to be there for you. Some of you, I realize, have come from the East Coast, but plenty of you also have come from foreign countries, and you think of the huge distance that is between you and your parents. But keep in mind, God is always there with you. God is the one who will strengthen you. God is the one who will help you through every difficult time that you may encounter. And of course, when we think about the way in which He prays for our protection, we also can be grateful for the fact that it helps us to have the right spirit in our hearts. Yes, He has given us the protection in our security and in our sanctification, but also in the spirit. You see here, He's telling us about the joy that we can come to have. If you'd follow along with me in verse 13, Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know what's interesting? In the preceding chapter, if you look back there, in verse 24, Jesus tells us to ask, and we shall receive that our joy may be full. He said, Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Now, let's go back to what we just read in chapter 17, and in verse 13, He states that He desires for us to have His joy fulfilled in us. And we see here, again, He says, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know, when you think about people and different likes and dislikes when it comes to food, and you find somebody, they just absolutely love eating a chocolate candy bar. And I'll never forget years ago as I was preaching in our Spanish church and was trying to encourage the men and trying to tell them to think of ways that they could show their love for their wives. And I made the dumb mistake as a young preacher of saying, and of course, men, there's not a woman alive who doesn't love chocolate. And sure enough, after that service, one of the ladies came up to me and said, Pastor, I got to set you straight on something. She said, I don't like chocolate. I would hate it if my husband came and brought me a box of chocolates. But you know, you think of those that really enjoy the chocolate. And I mean, they take it and they savor it and they just enjoy and they close their eyes. They're just enraptured at how wonderful, how delicious this is. And just hoping that they can make the flavor last as long as possible. Then you see somebody else say, man, I've never enjoyed something quite like that. I think you're carrying a little bit too far. Think of the joy of our Heavenly Father. Think of the joy of Jesus Christ as He looks down and as He's praying for you. He's praying for me. The reason that He's praying for our protection is so that you and I can appreciate His joy and have His joy fulfilled in our lives today. Are you enjoying what God is doing for you this semester? Are you enjoying the way in which God is speaking to you? Are you allowing Him to challenge you in your own personal walk to be all that God wants you to be? You know, when we think of what Jesus Christ is saying here, it's also interesting as we see in verse 14 where He tells us that He's praying for them, and He understands that, yes, they're in the world. The world doesn't like them. And, of course, we know that God desires for us to avoid the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And we are to have a distance that is there. We are to be what God wants us to be. But you know what is significant here in verse 14 is that what He is telling them is really nothing new. Look back in chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 18. The Bible says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now here we see Jesus Christ is directly addressing his disciples. And so in that context there, he's telling them, he's speaking to them in this regard. Listen, the world's hated me, it's going to hate you. But now we jump over to John chapter 17 where we have Jesus Christ's prayer, and in John chapter 17 he is telling this same facts about the world and the rejection of Jesus Christ and the rejection that we will encounter. He's telling this about them to the Heavenly Father. You know, when we think about a lot of times in the way in which we talk to God, what a blessing it is to know that, yes, our Lord and Savior knows exactly the struggles that you're going through. Yes, our Lord and Savior knows exactly the rejection that you may have faced just this last Saturday when you were going door to door. I was out with one of the men in our church this last weekend, and it was so interesting how you'd see people would go and give them a track, and they'd say, oh, no, I'm not interested. Oh, no, that's not for me. And of course, you find, we went to one house, and the lady was there, and she said, oh, no, I don't want it, because I'm just the housekeeper. So I thought, well, that was strange. It wasn't a very large house, but I thought, well, okay. I said, well, we'd just love to have you come visit us sometime. Got an important message about heaven on the back of this track. So no, I'm not interested. So I said, okay, fine. So then we went to the very next house, and I thought, talking to the man with me, I said, that was unusual. I don't think I've ever seen someone who would come and say that they were a housekeeper, and so that's why they didn't want to have the track. Well, then I went and got ready to knock on the next door, and she said, oh, well, that's my house, so that's where I live. And I thought, wait a minute, you know, you're the housekeeper next door, here you are over here, rejecting, didn't want to have anything to do with it. But you know, when we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the world did not appreciate Him. The world did not receive Him with open arms. And so if I can just keep in mind, wait a minute, God is pleased with what I'm doing. God desires for me to be that faithful witness. God is the one who has given me the message of salvation. Then yes, God too can certainly help protect me and help me to have the encouragement and the joy that I need of my Savior in knowing that I'm doing exactly what He wants me to do. A man was being pursued by a roaring, hungry lion. And as he felt the beast's hot breath on his neck, knowing that his time was short, he prayed as he ran. He cried out in desperation, oh Lord, please make this lion a Christian. And within seconds, the frightened man became aware that the lion had stopped the chase. When he looked behind him, he found the lion kneeling. His lips were moving in obvious prayer. And so greatly relieved at this turn of events and desirous of joining the lion in meditation, he approached the king of the jungle. And when he was near enough, he heard the lion praying, and bless, O Lord, this food for which I'm exceedingly grateful. didn't realize he was going to be the meal that was there, didn't realize, wow, this isn't turning out quite the way that I had desired. But you know, when we think about our Savior today, he's praying for your protection. He's praying for you to be all that God wants you to be this semester. He's praying for you, not only for your protection, but we also realize when we think of who he is and all that he desires, he's praying for our purity. He's praying for our purity. Keep reading with me if you would. And we think about Jesus here and his desire for you and for me. He says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, it's interesting that the word holy there in verse 12, we think of holy, or rather verse 11, and holy father, and the word sanctify as found here in verse 17 are from the same root word. In other words, you could also say that Jesus is saying, holy father, keep them holy in thy truth. And of course, when we think of our Savior and we realize the way in which he desires for us to have his truth in us, it's important that we remember that, yes, his truth is found, is revealed to us in this sacred book. So if I'm going to appreciate the protective hand upon me, of God upon me, if I'm going to appreciate the purity that the Lord desires for me so that I can be sanctified, then I better know this book. I've always remembered the advice that was given to my dad many years ago as he was in Bible college preparing for what the Lord had for him. And there was another preacher that was there one day, and he was asking him, he said, sir, he said, if you were to sum up one simple word of advice that you would give to a man who's hoping to go out and start a church, he said, what would that advice be? And he said, young man, he said, it would be this, master the book. Master the book. If you want to be sanctified, if you want to be set apart, if you want to be holy for God's honor and for God's glory, then remember there are no shortcuts. Remember that it's found through spending time in the Word of God and allowing it to truly go through you so that you can have God's Word upon you everywhere you go. And of course, we think about that when we think of God's protective hand upon us, we think of the purity that the Lord desires, as one commentator said, it is as being set apart from the world by actual sanctification of life, so that in heart and mind, in thought, words, and deeds, one begins to live more and more in accordance with the Word of God. Why is it that our Savior has come? He says here, as he has sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And you know, sometimes when we think about the trials that we encounter in our lives, and we think about, I'm not talking about falling into sin, but I'm just talking about hard times. I'm talking about difficulties that we face. It's important that we remember that God can use those difficult times specifically to cause us to be a more pure, sanctified example for his honor and for his glory. Think back to the example of Daniel in the Old Testament. Turn there, if you would, to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. You all know the story. We think of the tremendous trial that he encountered there with King Darius and cast there into the den of lions and realizing that it perhaps was not going to have a good outcome. And all of this, Daniel was assured of God's protective hand and God's purifying hand upon him, causing him to truly reflect the wonderful living God. In Daniel chapter 6, the king has come back to him, and the king is there fearful that something has happened, but he says, wait a minute, he says, I think that your God is able to take care of you. And in verse 22, he said, Daniel, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You think of the huge trial that Daniel faced. You think of everything that he encountered there. I mean, from a human standpoint, we all would have thought, certainly, the second that his body hits the ground there, as we saw, we see a few verses later there where all of those who were his adversaries, that the Bible says that the lions came up and ate them before they ever hit the ground. I mean, you would have thought that would have happened to Daniel. But God was using that as a demonstration of his protective hand hand upon his servant, and at the same time, as a testimony to the purity of his testimony, he was able to say with all due humility that the innocence that was found in me testifies to my God and testifies to you, O King. And I would ask you today, what is the testimony that you have before others? What is the testimony that you have before your roommates? Are you looked at one who is truly seeking to be all that God wants you to be? Are you seeking to live by this book? Are you seeking to have the pure, wholesome thoughts? I always remember years ago when I was in college and I had a roommate and he was trying to act super pious, and he would get out his Bible and would lay in his bunk, and he would spend a lot of time looking at his Bible. And I thought, wow, you know, this guy is really. And of course, obviously, when you have a room with several roommates in it, there aren't a lot of places you can go for privacy, and I understand that. But he was there, and it just seemed like it was all just this incredible, inordinate amount of time that he was spending reading his Bible. Well, then I realized later on when I was talking to him one day, or rather when I was observing him one day, I saw there, and he had his girlfriend's picture in his Bible, and that was what he was meditating on. You know, that was what he was really observing there and spending this inordinate amount of time just looking at her and just thinking about her, and that's all that his thoughts were reflecting on. But you know, when we think about our Lord and Savior, we realize that we can't fool him. And so when it comes to your testimony, young people, the flesh is still the flesh. My flesh as a 42-year-old man is just as sinful and depraved as it was back before I ever got married. And the only way that you're going to be what God wants you to be, that you're going to be sanctified, that you're going to be holy, that you're going to be set apart for His honor and glory, is to the extent that you spend time in the truth, in the Word of God, and saying, Lord, help me to truly live by the principles that are found here. God, help me to be pure, that would bring honor and glory to you. You know, you think of the Bible and the recommendation that we have from the Apostle Paul, the admonition that is given there. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, it reminds me of the fellow who was trying to use the pickup line, and he said, when I read Philippians 4:8, I think about you. You know, well, hopefully, when you talk about what God desires, your thoughts will be reflective of true holiness, of true purity, of seeking to be all that God wants you to be. And so we see here that Jesus Christ was desiring not only that we learn to love the truth, but to live the truth through Him as received from God the Father. And just as Jesus had been sent from heaven by the Father with a message, now we see that Jesus is praying for our power as He has sent His disciples, you and me, into the world with the exact same message. And He prays for power in our witness. The Bible says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know, the next time you go out door knocking, the next time you go out on visitation, if you're seeking to live for God, if you're seeking to really walk with Him, and you've asked God for His strength and you've asked God for His power, remember the fact that, hey, my Savior has prayed for me right now as I go out to share this message of salvation. He was saying here, yes, disciples, I'm grateful for you that are here because you have already received me. But also, I'm equally grateful for those that are yet to believe on me. I remember when the first time that I read that, and I took out a pen and circled it where it said, them also which shall believe on me. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible, that's me. What a thrill it was to realize that, hey, as my Savior was talking to His disciples, His most loyal group of followers, that He was grateful for what they were doing, but at the same time, He was praying for what they were going to accomplish as they were going to share the truth, as they were going to share the Word, and see more souls genuinely saved to come to believe on Jesus Christ. Your Savior today is praying for you. He's praying for us in our witness. He's also praying for power in our walk. Power in our walk. He says in verse 21, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us. And of course, that's the same thought that He has shared there at the end of verse 11. You know, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, your life is hid with Christ in God. You want to know how you're going to have power? You want to know how you're going to be all that God wants you to be? We can be thankful for the fact that our Savior is praying for that power, but we find that as we become one with God, as we don't worry about our testimony in the sense of what are people going to say about me, but we go out and we think about what are people going to say about my Lord? What are people going to say about my Savior? What are people going to say about my Heavenly Father? And as you draw closer to God, as you have the relationship that God desires for you to have, then you can wait. You can look back and say, wait a minute, God is truly helping me in my walk to be able to do His perfect will, to have the unity that the Lord desires. And of course, also we realize the power before the world, where He says that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. What a joy it is to know that our Savior is making intercession for those who draw near to God through Him. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 9:24, the Bible says that Christ entered into heaven to appear before the face of God for you and for me. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We think of the wonderful advocate that we find in Jesus Christ, so that we can be what God wants us to be in the midst of a sin-filled world. When the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, today as you go about your classes, as you have a lot of projects, or you begin thinking about the projects that are ahead of you, you think of the responsibilities that you may have. You may be burdened down for a loved one that is not saved. You may be praying about a struggle that you know a family member is going through. Find comfort today. Find strength today. Find encouragement today in knowing that your God, Jesus Christ, is interceding for you. He's praying for you today. He wants you to have His protective hand upon Him. He wants you to be pure, to be sanctified, to be holy. He wants you to have that godly testimony. And He's also praying for you to have power in your life to be all that God wants you to be. It was interesting, my wife and I, here just a couple of weeks ago, in the middle of August actually, about a month ago, had opportunity of going to London for the first time. And while we were there in London, we were able to go to Buckingham Palace. And they told us something. They said, well, you can always know if the Queen is in the palace or not, because when she is, there will be a special flag that is raised there to signify that she is in this particular residence and not in one of the other palaces that she has. But I like the comment that Walter B. Knight made regarding our spiritual lives, and he says that joy is the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that the King is in residence today. And I ask you, who is in residence in your heart? You see, it's very easy. They always say, and I believe that there's a tremendous truth to it, that one of the easiest places to backslide is in a Christian college. Because you've got the devos, you've got the chapel hour, you've got the Bible classes, you have all of the responsibilities that are laid upon you, you have the Bible projects, but if it's only reaching your head and it's not getting through to your heart, then you're wasting your time. If you want to think about seeking to be what God wants you to be and accomplishing far greater than you could ever ask or imagine, then reflect upon the truth of this holy book and ask God for His power in your life. Ask God to use you. Robert Murray McShane said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. You know, today as we conclude this message and we think about the principles that the Lord has shared with us, my desire for each one of you today is that you will reflect on this and say, wait a minute, Maybe you're a little discouraged. Maybe you're thinking, how am I ever going to get through this semester? How am I ever going to make it? All of these rules, some of you perhaps for the first time in your lives are having specified times when you go to bed, time when you get up. You've got all these things. You have to dress a certain way. Some of you are wearing ties for the first time in your lives on a daily basis. Others of you are wearing skirts for the first time in your lives on a daily basis, or other regulations that you have. But just keep this in mind. When we think about seeking to be what God wants us to be, the Lord is your number one fan. He desires for you to grow. He desires for you to succeed. He desires for you to glorify Him. And to the extent that you will draw near to God, you will enjoy all of God's blessings is poured out upon you. Have you ever thought about the fact that church or even chapel can be just like football? You know, you think of the quarterback sneak as the church members quietly leaving during the invitation. You think of the bench warmers, those who don't sing, pray, work, or do anything but sit. You think of the backfield in motion as those who would make a trip to the back restroom or water fountain during the service. You think of staying in the pocket as what happens to so much money that should be given to the Lord's work. You think of sudden death as what happens to the attention span of the congregation if the preacher goes into overtime. But I want you to be encouraged today and hope that you don't have a flex defense, which is the ability to allow absolutely nothing said during the sermon to affect your life. Now, as we think about today, seeking to live for God, seeking to accomplish much for Him, you can get by, you can be ho-hum, you can be humdrum, you can be down in the mouth, or you can say, wait a minute, God is alive. God is praying for me today. God is desirous that I have a more sanctified life today than I did yesterday. God is going to go with me through these difficult times. God is going to help me, even through difficult situations in your room, difficult situations back in your family where you can't be right now. But the choice is up to you. Are you going to truly allow the blessings of God to guide your life? Or are you going to allow the burdens of the daily life to bog you down, rob you of your joy, and cause you not to be all that God wants you to be? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father in heaven today, we thank you, Lord, that we have every reason to hold our heads high because our Savior cares about us. But Lord, at the same time, we have to make certain that the matter of our heart has truly been given over to Him, because God, we realize that as He was talking to those who believed on Him, and Lord, it's very easy, even in a Christian college, to have gone through all the motions and never really put our faith and trust in Him. God, it's very easy in a Christian college to have put our faith and trust in Him and yet not be leading a joyful, victorious Christian life. God, I thank you that you will not only desire for our joy to be complete, but Lord, for your joy to be fulfilled in us. God, I don't know what struggles these students may encounter today. Some of them may be carrying much heavier burdens than others. Lord, some of them may find themselves feeling as if they're all alone, even though they're surrounded by hundreds of other students and faculty and staff. But God, today, may they find encouragement in the fact that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is praying for us.